So we are so grateful to have Verdure CBD as our sponsor. So we're brought to you by Verdure CBD. Don't forget that you can go to verdurecbd.com to get 25% off the shave stick automatically.
Well, that didn't help at all.
And it did not. And you can also use the code 10%buyer to get 10% off site-wide on Verdure CBD. So any of your CBD products, they have some amazing CBD chocolate that you can stir into your tea or coffee. It's amazing.
It is. Okay, so hi.
Hi. Let us do this. And let's remove this. Hi. Okay. Hi, Greg.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you? I'm drinking water. Because it's been a long weekend.
It has been a very long week. Oh, so one of my friends, Joyelle Nicole, said, she messaged me and she said, 2020 has been zany. And I was like, that's an understatement. Like,
yeah, that's
it's very, very zany, but also crazy. Insane.
This week, does anyone else know that COVID toe is a thing? Oh, I'm right here.
Sorry. You're right there.
It looks like the ring is in
Well, how about
eyes.
We go back to the...
Did you know that COVID toe is a thing?
I did not know that COVID toe was a thing.
Okay. So I had a scare this week, everyone. I somehow bruised or broke my ring toe. And I was talking to Dina and our best friend, Christine, about it. And Christine just out of nowhere is like, oh, you might have COVID toe. And she sends me an article about it. So then I freak out to my doctor on my chart and send her a picture of my ugly ass toe. And then she responds that it's not COVID.
It's not COVID.
So I don't have COVID toe.
Well, congratulations. Mazel. Mazel tov. We are excited because this week we have two very special guests. We've got Lisa Konecki, who is an author, a speaker, and she has a book out called Inclusion Ally, Being an Inclusion Ally. And then our other guest is Maria McKee. She's a singer-songwriter. She's amazing. She's had an illustrious career. And she will be talking about her new album, La Vida Nueva, and being a trans activist and a queer activist. She's pretty rad. So,
yeah. Rad.
Rad. I'm 90.
1987 once.
Thank you. It was the late 90s.
I guess so.
So you had COVID toe. You did not have COVID toe. So we've been having adventures at the dog park.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I feel like no one is really social distancing, but they are. What did you call it earlier? What was it?
Caution fatigue. I glimpsed over an article saying that if you're not washing your hands as much as you thought, or sanitizing, or not paying attention to being as close to people as you had at the beginning, it's called caution fatigue.
Okay. Well, here in Madison, you can now eat out of patios. You can eat, like, they've opened it up that you can do more outdoor things. So on Friday night, I made fried fish at our friend's backyard, was there until 2 a.m. And then yesterday went to brunch, had a proper brunch, which is what the gay man in me needed so badly.
So badly.
And then we met at the dog park.
Well,
5 hours into brunch.
So the thing about the dog park is you, me, our friend Christine are all on a quarantine, which is the teams that we have, the people that are close to us, the people that we see that we get in close distance with.
Yes, we are in a quarantine. I did not hear a quarantine ever.
You've never heard quarantine?
We're
on a quarantine. It's our quarantine.
I hope we get...
And we've been around each other since the beginning, so there is definitely...
She says this lightly, though, because at the beginning, she would come to my curb in her car and wave at me.
Because it was scary times, and it still is. I mean, just look at Arizona.
Yeah. Right. Oh, healthcare workers in Arizona, we love you.
Yeah.
I mean, we love all the healthcare workers.
So despite caution fatigue, we are also Tired of caution fatigue. I'm tired of COVID. And then, oh Lord, this week. All right, so let's go to news updates. Do you want to start?
Yeah, well, no, I'm going to say the one that I have for a little bit later. Because the first one that we have is kind of serious.
No, okay.
The statue in Tennessee is what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Okay, so the only thing that I really wanted to bring up was that not only did Trump spend this, the Trump administration spend this week trying to remove LGBT and transgender rights. Hi. allowing discrimination for the health community to discriminate against LGBT people, which mostly, like, Greg can go into a doctor's office and nobody's going to question his sexual orientation. Nobody's really going to think about your gender. But if I go in, there are going to be questions and they can say no. They can say, we don't treat people like you.
And this move was, it was more specifically to the transgender community. Like, it was
on the day, on the anniversary of the Pulse nightclub massacre.
Yeah. I mean, it was strategic, just like how Trump is going to have that rally in Tulsa on Juneteenth. And Tulsa is this, you know, the Tulsa massacre is one of the biggest racial,
the site of the Tulsa massacre ever.
So
where black people had, they called it Black Wall Street, I think. There was a thriving community of black entrepreneurs and black people, and they were making money, and they had a community there, they were connected, and white people got pissed off and went and burned down the town. So you tell me that rioting, looting during an uprising is not okay when we as white people have gone into their communities and burned down their businesses and their sources of livelihood while killing family members. Like, I'm furious about it, but I'm also furious that there is this calculated, concentrated attack on transgender bodies, especially transgender people of color. Tony McDade.
It's just all Trump's, like, there's so many, is showing more than it's ever, like, there's not even, like, there's no try, like, he's not trying to hide
they're
it.
They're not, they're not covering it up at all.
The upper has no clothes. So,
God.
Poor Melania.
So also, an evangelical group has gone to make a plea to remove LGBT and trans people out of the lynching bill. Sexual orientation and gender identity, they're trying to remove it from the lynching bill. So essentially what they're saying is, hey, we don't want black people to get lynched, but it's okay to lynch trans people.
Which of the 26 trans people that have died in the last, 5 months? 21 of them were trans people of color. Mm-hmm. So
this is not just a trans issue. This is a black issue. This is a human being issue. So, if your Christianity dictates and allows you to be okay with removing transgender and queer people from the lynching bill, then your Christianity is not Christianity, because if you look at, I'm going to get churchy, go to the Bible.
Preach, Dina.
Go to the Bible. Read those red letters. Tell me what Jesus did when the adulterer was caught and they were trying to stone her. What did he do? He said, let he without the first stone, or he without sin, cast the first stone. Somebody in our crowd going to get up and grab a stone, but they didn't, because they saw the reasoning behind it. Jesus was saying, don't kill somebody, because you're killing somebody also is part of your sin. You're not sinless. You can't judge that. I ain't preaching well, but I'm preaching.
I'm just thinking of you as a youth minister in your church down in Texas.
I also had a relationship with Christ that was so different than the church these days. I mean, I know there are people within the church that have wonderful relationships with Christ, and but this is disgusting that the evangelical group would come out and say, oh, we don't want Black people to get lunch, but we don't mind if anybody else does. Like, that's just, oh, Lord Jesus, can I get a...
On a lighter note, did you hear that Tennessee has proposed to remove a statue of a KKK leader and replace it with Dolly Parton? That's fantastic.
That's my dream.
So, I mean, ideally, it should be replaced with a strong Black woman from Tennessee. But, I mean, Dolly's loved.
We love Dolly so much. All right, on to Soshi.
That's so Soshi.
How Soshi is that? It's so Soshi. You were supposed to say.
Okay,
nope, that's not it. There we go. All right, so Soshi. So in So Soshi, this week the NASCAR organization has come out and said we don't want the Confederate flag. Well, Ray, I think it's Ciccarelli, who is a NASCAR driver, said that he's quitting over ban of the Confederate flag because his car has a Confederate flag on it, his race car. He finished his career with 0 wins. He went on a long rant shaming kneeling during the anthem and bringing in the flag. 0 wins. So bye.
But there was a tweet from NASCAR to him. That said, oh, wait, we Googled you and we didn't even know who you were.
I don't know if that is real. I think it could have been a fake one because I was looking at that. And that's the only reason I didn't put that one in there. But if that was NASCAR, hey, girls, yes.
Chelsea Handler on her Instagram brought a Phil Donahue episode. From, you know, what, 1987, 1988. It was so relevant because it was this conversation about race that seems like it's the exact same conversation that we are still having. And I'm like, 30 years ago, and we're still, I mean, I just, 3 generations. So anyway, it's very interesting, and it's a good aha moment, specifically, I think, for the white community, just to look at it and see this group of white people, because the audience is split between half Black, half white, and the things that the white people are saying in this audience, it's the same things that are still being said. So it was a really interesting post, and thank you, Chelsea, for posting that. So
yes. The next thing on the Soshi is Pauline Levon, who is on Twitter, said New Zealand's prime minister becomes the first ever to march in a gay pride parade. She also has been very, their approach to COVID-19 has been very successful. And she also came out against hatred against Muslims during that whole thing. She's really seems to be a great example of humanity. I haven't looked at all their policies.
I love a good example. Well, that Forbes published that article that talked about these countries are doing the best at handling COVID-19, and they're all run by women. Mm-hmm. So hi, that's another big hello, slap in the face. Where are our female leaders, and why can we not get behind them, specifically in a presidential campaign where all 3 women can't make as much as the lowest male in fundraising? So
awesome. So that's going to have to be our time for Soshi. Thank you for that. Greg, are you excited to welcome our first guest?
I'm so excited. I get the opportunity to work with her in one of the organizations here in town called Step Up Equity Matters in the Workplace. And she is such a great community leader. And she just, a book of hers came out on Wednesday.
Oh, it June 10th. Did.
June 10th. That might not be Wednesday, but it seems like it's Wednesday.
All right, so please welcome Lisa Konecki.
Hi. Hello. Yes, and it was Wednesday. Yes.
Okay. I love it. Okay, let me fix this. Okay, there we go. It's called Being an Inclusion Ally, the ABCs of LGBTQ+.
Yep.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Dina. Hi, Greg.
was so exciting to have you.
So I'm happy to be here.
I love your marketing campaign for this book for the month of June for Pride, because you are doing a video every day going through the alphabet. How's that going? What's going on? Like, who is getting some big shout outs because of your letters?
Yep. So it's very fun. Thank you for watching and knowing that that's actually happening, because I am so like in my basement on my phone. My wife does the jingle. So we're kind of low key. You guys are fancy. You folks are fancy here. So but what I do is I'm interviewing a lot of people so that the allies that want to be more inclusionary see a face with. So, for example, I am interviewing someone who identifies as bisexual, and so she dispels myths. I have someone who is genderqueer, non-binary. I have someone who uses MX as their honorarium. I'm going to be having a friend of mine who is transgender do makeup for people. So, Dina, I might get you in on that as well.
When did you ask me to do this?
Well, I will. Right now. I was like, I'll do it live. Yeah. So we can do that. And so really what it is bringing real people into the conversation. So today was the letter L, and I talked about loving versus V Virginia. And so I had an interracial couple on who are straight allies. And I said, how do I, as a white cisgender lesbian, be a better ally to you? So I'm just trying to bring in a whole lot of intersectionality and talking to a lot of people, answering a lot of questions.
So being an inclusion ally
is what I'm trying to do. Yes.
I love it. So not only you speak on being an inclusion ally as well. Mm-hmm. How did this whole process evolve for you?
Thank you for that question. So I was a middle and a high school counselor for 12 years, and currently I am an adjunct instructor, counselor educator at Lakeland University. And in addition to doing the professor stuff, I just received my diversity and inclusion certification from Cornell University, joined National Speakers Association, and I've spoken in 25 states, just trying to build my business that way. And I'm just Lisa K. Hey, you're everyday gay. You can ask me anything.
I love it.
I really do love the jingle, but especially when your wife pops in.
Thank you.
So how are you feeling about the book? How do you feel? I mean, what's the excitement going through? What's happening? Tell me everything about this book.
It's so fun, because I started a blog 2 years ago. And it was basically going to be the letter A. I want to tell you how to be an ally, and here are some resources. So it was marketed originally to school counselors. And then more things happened. I evolved into different communities and different businesses. And then my very good friend, Mary Helen Conroy, and I sat down on April 18th, and she said, what's your dream? And I said, my dream is to have a book by June 1st. And I have a real book. I feel like Pinocchio and Geppetto. I'm a real person with a real book. And so it has been fun marketing it. We hit bestseller on June 10th in lesbian studies and LGBTQ demographics. So in two categories. And this was, you know, even going against, not against, I shouldn't say that, but white fragility. And, you know, I'm going against Audre Lorde. Hello. And so, you know, to be able to say for one day that I was a bestseller, and just found out this morning that a local business here in Middleton is going to be selling my books too. And I'm excited. And it's really, it's an easy, quick read that you just go through and be like, oh, okay. I tell you stories about myself. I give you quotes. I have a calendar in the back that, you know, talks about that transgender is in November. And my chapter T is about transgender and giving them, the reader, a list of frequently asked questions.
With your book and with what just happened on Friday with Trump and his bullshit. How would you suggest someone take your book to be a better ally in something like that?
I think today in my letter L, what I'm really trying to do is to have people listen and then learn. And I want people to shift from a small A ally to a capital A ally. And so a small A ally is someone who might hear a homophobic or transphobic joke and not say anything because maybe they don't know, but by using the book and learning about different people and seeing that, you know, we all go to the grocery store when we can, they'll hopefully shift to a capital A ally so that they can right the wrongs in their sphere of influence, if that makes sense.
Totally. That completely does. And I love the, yeah, I love the capital A ally that, I mean, because then it pairs up with, you know, looking at impact versus intent versus impact, and that, like, it falls right into that really well.
Mm-hmm. And I think what I love is that I don't feel that I'm dumbing anything down. I think that with my generation, it's different. So I am a Gen Xer, and it's different for the millennials who a lot of people have paved the way ahead of them. And I do want people to ask me questions rather than Googling things. And I might not know the answer. I do not know what it's like to be anyone other than Lisa Kennicky. But either I can try and find someone that you can ask the questions of, or let's do some research together, and I'll kind of, you know, shift you in the right way so that you know what to say, what not to say, and that if you mess up, that you just say, I'm sorry, and don't use, I'll speak for myself, don't use your white privilege to say, no, really, tell me, what is that like? Because I also teach crisis and trauma at my university, and I'm telling my graduate students, that's not how you do it. So it is just really getting the information out there and being real and having the conversations.
So as you began this journey, writing this book and really focusing on how to include everybody and become an inclusion ally, what have you learned and what did you learn about yourself in the process?
I learned, you're going to love this, I learned that I am old in that. So I'm 51, and as a middle school counselor, you know, new terms would pop up all the time, and I'd ask the students, I'd be like, okay, help me understand, let me learn what this is. And I'm learning, it's kind of like a bookshelf. So I'm learning that I need to teach myself what the younger generation is going through and their knowledge and their terminology, as well as then bridging that gap into the Gen X and the boomers, so that they will know what to say when a grandkid comes out to them, or, you know, someone in their family brings home someone that they haven't usually talked about in their nuclear quote unquote family. So I'm learning to be patient. I'm learning to listen a lot more. And that is an excellent question, Tina. Thank you for that. I'm open to learning a lot and not trying to be a white savior. And I've told my graduate students that too. It's like, you know what? If you don't know, say you don't know, but that you're willing to learn.
Absolutely.
Has there been any stories that's come back to you from people that have now seen the book or heard of you that you didn't know before? And like, how's that coming into your life?
Oh, wasn't even ready for this one, but yes. Oh, this is fabulous. So 2 days ago, I'm getting goosebumps right now. 2 days ago, I received a Facebook message from my second cousin who had lived in Canada. And a second cousin had been queer most of her teenage years. Her brother had come out gay kind of early on, and second cousin told me in a Facebook post, Lisa, if it wasn't for you being who you were, my parents, so my first cousin, would not have been as open and receptive to the two siblings who were on their journey and coming out. And to tell you, what a blast. And this is from my very strict paternal side of the family that's like, well, my dad is the whatever. But that was so, I will say, life-changing. Greg, when you asked that question, that was one of those like, whoa, You never know what you say, do, act, anything might change someone's life. And to me, to save someone's life, that's what this is all about. And my approach is through humor. And so, you know, you're going to get to know me. I'm Lisa. I'm funny. Oh, by the way, I'm gay. So that's where the whole Lisa K, your everyday gay, came in.
Totally. It's so, I love the, you've said so many things that I wanted to touch on. One is the conversations. I love that it's pulling the conversations offline. So I love that you're so open to like, come talk to me, ask me, let's have a conversation about it.
Right.
And then just the idea, like we get so head down, we want to accomplish this goal. We want to put this out there with this compassion and this love. And you never anticipate the other things that are going to come back at you, like your story. And like also being be a family thing, not even necessarily, you know, just some person in Montana that, you know, so. Oh.
And we're handing out a lot of straight ally flags, you know, from Target for $1. So the entire neighborhood who is supporting me here in Middleton has just been fabulous going through that and helping my wife and I. And you hear a lovely dog in the background. So it's just been wonderful for all of us. And we're so excited. The book launch video that we did already has over 4,000 views.
Oh, that's fantastic. And I love that you brought the flag in, because my favorite video from so far from your videos was F for flag, because you just in the backyard doing your laundry with all these flags. Like, I would have never known anyone had that many flags.
Lisa K, your everyday gay does. Yeah.
You got all of them. I love it.
But I think that that's part of it. I think that, if I may, I think that that representation is so important. You know, everyone knows that Lisa loves rainbows, you know, and so then in my office, I would add in, you know, a trans flag. And I actually talked with Daniel Quasar, who created the progress flag, doing research on my book. And, you know, I put Monica Holmes in here and just trying to give credit where credit was due. And so I love the flags. I think it's fabulous. If anyone needs to borrow them, let me know.
I will
always.
Don't be shocked if I call you up and like, hey, I need these. We're running out of time, but I do have one last question for you, and I feel that we should have given this to you ahead of time. But now with COVID-19 and everything happening, you know, what do you think is the best way the LGBTQ community can celebrate pride in this moment? In time, like for you, Lisa K, the everyday gay, what would you tell people?
I think that depending upon what your station in life is, how can you use your voice to help the most that you can? If you have never celebrated Black lives, maybe you don't want to look like you're jumping on the bandwagon. But by getting to know about the LGBT world and celebrating pride, you know, maybe that's where you can help. And if you just know that here's what a pronoun is and how to use it, that's a very simple way to come in. If you just want to show a rainbow flag or a rainbow ribbon, you're going to shift mindsets, and eventually we're going to shape a lot of policies.
The shift and tip. It is exactly, yeah. I love that. And I hope that our listeners take, if they don't take anything from this interview, they take that away, the shift and shape.
And we've been talking to Lisa Kennecke, and you can find her at lisakennecke.com. It's just down scrolling across the screen. And her book is Being an Inclusion Ally, ABCs of LGBTQ+. And that book, you can find that book at her website.
And on Amazon, right?
You bet.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us, Lisa.
Thank you, friends.
Have a wonderful evening. I hope to see you soon in person.
Yes, as well. Thank you. Thank you. Keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you. You too. Awesome.
Okay. Oh, I love her so much.
I do too. We got to meet and spent a long time just chatting, and it was really fun. So I'm blessed Hashtag blessed.
So, Gina, what you watching?
What you watching?
I have to just give you all a heads up on this.
What you watching?
Dina shared something that she's been watching that might shock you all. So hold on to your pants.
I don't know if it's okay, there we go. I'm trying to get everything organized. New producing and being part of the show is it's a lot. So what you watching? I'm watching Quibi. I don't know if anybody's heard of Quibi yet. Have you? Greg hasn't.
You taught me about Quibi.
Okay.
After you talked about this show.
So Quibi is an app. Where am I looking? Quibi is an app that is made for your phone. So it's content made for your phone in less than 10-minute chunks. Okay. So there's a show called Dummy on Quibi, starring
Anna Kendrick.
And Anna Kendrick takes way too many expired melatonin gummies and has a hallucination where she is seeing her boyfriend's sex doll talking to her. It is so hilarious.
Some of the things.
Episode nine gets a little.
Some of the things you told me about the conversations she has with the sex doll is a little weird.
I mean, some of the conversations are amazing.
I live in that space, so I'm okay with it.
1 through 8 is riveting and amazing. I felt really uncomfortable about episode 9 and part of episode 10, but otherwise, it's a brilliant show. Like, I highly suggest it.
Well, this conversation got me into, because I love Anna Kendrick. And I'm like, what is one, in our group chat, we're talking, have you seen Camp? Camp, I think, is Anna Kendrick's first movie, and it's about theater camp. And it looks at every spectrum of the LGBTQ community. It came out in, 96 or something. Anyway, so I was like, you all have to watch Camp. And so I sent them the scene of Anna Kendrick, because she's this mousy, her character is very mousy, but then all of a sudden she, goes crazy and takes over the spotlight, and it's beautiful and
it's amazing,
and it's perfect for Pride Month.
Yes, it is.
Watch some Camp.
She was she and I hung out once. She came to a show that I was doing when I was a showgirl, and she and I are buddies. She doesn't remember me. Okay,
is that the part of the show where we're gonna drop in all our celebrity celebrity happenings?
I am also watching season 2 of Pose on Netflix. It just dropped this week. I am obsessed with it. Greg is still having, it's growing on him.
I'm going back into Pose this week. After we talked about it tonight, I will go back to Pose.
If you haven't watched it, it's a Falchuk production. So all those, anyway, and it is set in late 80s New York City in the ballroom scene, which is where a lot of trans and queer people, the only place that they felt comfortable and have families. And it's so good. So many trans actors on it, trans writers in the writing room. It's amazing. What else you watching?
I'm going to bring this in, even though I finished it and a lot of us have finished it already. If you haven't watched Mrs. America on Hulu or Fox, it is brilliant. It goes through the Equal Rights Act and it trying to get ratified in the States, and the actresses in it. It is chock-a-block full. I mean, Cate Blanchett, Rose Byrne. My brain just stopped. Anyway, it's amazing. Rose Byrne plays, oh my God, my brain just stopped. Who does she play? Gloria Steinem.
Yeah.
And it is so, and then Cate Blanchett's character is this very right-wing conservative woman who is trying to take down the ERA.
I found it really interesting. I just hate that it was about that woman. That was the majority of it. But we have our next guest.
Yay!
She is here with us. Please welcome the amazing Maria McKee. Hi, Maria.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm on an iPad because I don't have a laptop. So I love it.
Well, welcome to the show.
Hi, sweetheart.
Hello, my love.
We've already caught up. So otherwise we'd just be like,
Totally. So, for those of you who are new to Maria McKee, Maria is an incredibly prolific songwriter and musician. She started a career in the 80s with a band called Lone Justice and had an incredible solo career. Her music has been a part of my life since the 80s, and because I'm that old.
Well, and isn't it rumored that your song is really what brought Nicole Kidman and Tom Cruise together?
Oh, Show Me Heaven. Yeah, that's the rumor.
Didn't they? The rumor is that they heard it together on set, and then they fell madly in love. You had nothing to do with it.
I didn't know that, but I know that it was the movie where they met and worked together for the first time. So that I know. And they're making out in the video.
And they're still together. Oh wait. So
this is not a commercial for Church of Scientology.
Right. I was wondering if you would feel comfortable talking about your coming out story.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You just exploded and it was amazing.
No, I mean, it's complicated because being queer, you know, is for me, I mean, I identify as demisexual. So like, even though I was like a rock star and really cute and everything, I haven't had a lot of romantic partners. It takes a lot for me. I have to really fall in love and really experience something cosmic and spiritual in order to have like any kind of a relationship with somebody. I've never had casual sex or a one night stand. I think it's fine if you want to do that. I've got nothing against it, but it was just for me personally, that was not my style or my identity. So like, you know, being part of the queer community made me realize that there wasn't something wrong with me. I wasn't broken. I was just on the A-spec, meaning a sexual spectrum, even though I'm not asexual, I guess it's like a selective kind of wiring. So mm-hmm. What I'm getting at is, for me, identifying as queer is not really about my sex life. You know what I mean? It's about desire and romance. And, you know, for me, my desire is focused on feminine energy. So I'm attracted to femininity in people, women, people who are more feminine presenting. And I always have been. I just was very conditioned to heterosexual normativity and and I was taught by my mother that I needed a man to take care of me, to guide me, to protect me. So I just kind of fell in line with that, even though I always had desire for women. Mm-hmm. I'm still married. We're like brother and sister, best friends. He lives downstairs in the apartment downstairs, but we're family. You know, my life is complicated. And, I'm like poly, pan, queer mom. You know, that's my queer identity, because most of my relationships now are with very young queer people who I sort of mentor and mother. And that's sort of how I found my path. And that's kind of what my queer journey is about, more so than I'm dating this girl.
Right. I love that you say that, Maria, because it's not just the sex part, it's the community part. So when you came out, how did your, how was that change, that shift of community? Like, how did that feel and what did it eventually evolve into?
Well, I mean, like I said, it's been quite dramatic. I mean, I've always been like the Beverly Hills housewife with like a million gay friends, you know, like that, you know, I often joke that the way that I was able to stay het married for so long was identifying as a gay man. And, you know, and it's kind of, you know, it was sort of like, I've always been like super queer, you know, so it's, so for me, the shift has been more about suddenly being really surrounded by a lot of young queer people and a lot of trans people. I have very few cis friends left, and you know, it's just, I don't know, it just ended up that way. It wasn't something I didn't wake up one morning and go, I'm going to all of a sudden be friends with all of these really young trans people. It was just sort of the way the cards kind of fell in my life. And I think it's a past life thing or something, but that's how I got so vocal about trans advocacy, because it was like affecting me. I mean, I'm not like this Mother Teresa or anything. It was just affecting me personally, because people in my life were being affected by, these issues. So,
and that is, because of that, that's how you and I met. So, we were friends on Instagram and Twitter and whatever, and you were dating someone that was trans, and you were looking into kind of what we go through, and you found an article that I wrote on Huffington Post.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then watching how you were like, oh my God, like, this is what you faced. And I realized my privilege, meaning that I have a lot of cis privilege where I, in the world, like, I move through the world without questions. I travel to the South. When I stop and go to the bathroom, no one ever questions me. Mm-hmm. But watching you become this fierce trans advocate ally has been really beautiful. Your journey with your fan, especially in London, because you spend half the year there, half the year in LA.
Yeah.
What has that been like? What have you learned about yourself?
Well, I mean, the thing that happened with London was, when I set up my funding platform, I started following this woman in London, named Celeste Guinness, who is like, who runs all of these like lesbian nights and trans inclusive parties in London, and she's a DJ and she's in the music business, and she's Irish, and you know, I used to live in Ireland, so I have like a big affinity with the Irish, and so we became best friends, and she brought me into the community, and basically it was my coming out. She brought me around and introduced me to this extraordinary family of people. And they're all, you know, she's 30. Most of them are under 30. And one of them is this woman who's subsequently become one of my best friends, Lucia Blake, who is an activist in London. And she founded London Trans Pride. So for me, it was kind of like, once I sort of fell into that community, it was a way for me to come out and feel held. And, around the same time, unfortunately, I lost a lot of relationships, from my former life, I guess. I mean, I don't really see it as before and after, because I've always been Maria, but it was surprising to me. And I don't know if it's so much an issue of like homophobia, or just people don't like an outspoken advocate. It makes them feel uncomfortable. I was tackling a lot of things that I felt were the enemy of queerness, like the patriarchy and like relationships I'd had with men that were really uncomfortable and abusive, and being really outspoken about the music business, and a lot of people who were sort of, I don't know what kind of relationships we had, but I thought they were long lasting. I mean, some of them had been 30 plus year relationships, family relationships, and suddenly they were backing out of my life. Luckily, because I'm a very sensitive person, luckily I had all of these new relationships that were extraordinary with young queer people who brought me in and helped me and gave me a community and gave me a new family. So, you know, I was lucky.
You also set up a fund called See Me Safe Fund for Facial Feminizing Surgery.
Yeah.
There will be a post in our Facebook where people can go find it, follow it on Instagram, as well as donate to the GoFundMe, where you're raising money to help trans women get facial feminizing surgery.
Yeah.
Why was that so important?
And also, we've extended that to like hair removal as well.
Oh my God, I'm in.
Yeah.
Oh, wait.
Yeah, because sometimes like, I mean, it's, you know, that's sometimes that's all people want to do. And it helps a lot. I mean, it's on the feminization sort of journey. That's, you know, a little bit goes a long way with hair removal.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I made it specifically. It's interesting. And people ask me, why FFS? And I think it's because when it comes to medical procedures for people who want to transition, there's not a lot of, people don't know a lot about FFS. They never consider it. They don't, or if they do know about it, they think it's like plastic surgery and, you know, they think it's just to make you more pretty, you know, but for, you know, a lot of women who seek FFS, it's to make them feel safe in the world. And also be able to look in the mirror and see the person that they know they are looking back at them. And it's a prescription. It's a medical prescription for dysphoria, but a lot of, you know, it's sketchy with insurance. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a lot of trans people have to do GoFundMes and, you know, do their own fundraisers to raise the money themselves. And I saw so many women, seeking, you know, funding for FFS and all the, you know, when you look at, you know, and I would donate because I would, you know, read the stories and donate. And then I would see the comments from all the other people that were donating. And I was like, and they were all like, "Go, sister, we got to help each other." And I'm like, these are all trans people funding these, these campaigns. It felt really imbalanced to me. And I thought I'm going to use my platform to get cis people to pay for these medical procedures so that it's not all about, you know, trans people funding each other's bodies. You know, it's unfair. And the thing that's been good about it as well is raising people's awareness. Mm-hmm. We do like Mask Mondays where we do like top surgery funds and stuff. And right now, since COVID, I have sort of mixed it up a bit. And we are raising funds specifically for like COVID emergencies in the community, in the entire community, the trans gender nonconforming community. So it's like if somebody's had problems, you know, with housing or whatever as a result of the COVID of the pandemic, that we focused our funding on that. And then since the Black Lives Matter revolution, we focused our funding on Black trans people. So it's basically right now, it's just specifically right now, sorry, but this weekend are the last few days where I'm raising funds for GLITS, GLITS, which is Cayenne Dorshow's fund for Black trans housing. They're mm-hmm. trying to raise $1 million for to house Black trans people in New York, and they are like this close to the goal. I mean, it's been this fundraiser has exploded. They started out where it was just to cover rent for 5 trans women coming out of Rikers when they did the COVID bailout. And they raised so much so fast that they just kept going. And then it was like 200,000. Then it was 500,000. And it's like, she goes, well, let's raise $1 million and buy a property to house Black trans people in New York. And that's what they're doing. And a friend of mine who's been fundraising came to me and asked me to do $1,000 commitment for 1 week. And we're almost at 2,000. So, and they're like at 800,000 or something. So, yeah.
Amazing.
So that's what we've been doing at See Me Safe at the moment. Yeah.
Amazing. I love that. So yeah. We've got a few more moments. I just want to say that La Vida Nueva is available now, your album.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I have an album.
So much to talk about.
There's so much. I love it. It is so intimate and raw, which is what I feel like your whole career has been. But there's something special about this album that just feels connected in a way that is a little different than what you've done. I mean, where did that come from?
I think this album's really grown up. You know, I think it's like, it's really mature in a way. And I like that because I'm 55, I'm going to be 56 in August. So, you know, I reached a point in my life where I knew my life had to change. I didn't know how exactly I was, but I knew I was in a lot of pain. Mm-hmm. I was in a really, really, and it was because I was living a life that felt, I don't want to say inadequate, but it was unfulfilled, and it was nobody's fault. It was just, I wasn't, you know, I needed to set my foot on a different path. And I didn't know exactly what that meant, but I knew that I was in pain. And for me, it was kind of, I started writing the album, and when I was writing the album, I was looking back, and it was like nostalgia and reverie and this kind of elegiac sort of dream that I sort of existed in to write this album. And it was really interesting as the album, almost like a magical work, started to manifest, then it just became like this sort of like it was the key to unlock this sort of map to set me on the path to the journey that I was meant to be on now. And, you know, I practice magic. So to me, it makes perfect sense. I sort of drew a system and operated within that system and kind of like used all of these keys and these sort of like talismanic rituals, in the writing. And it just set some, it manifested something. So,
I love that. I'm living now. I feel that.
Yeah, you would understand. Yes. Yeah.
We have very simpatico kind of journeys other than the music part.
Fantastic. Mm. What? How wonderful to have a connection like that from Instagram.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. We've met in person too and hung out. So.
Yeah, I kind of fangirled.
Yeah, but I don't know.
You're like, yeah.
I have so many best friends who are fans first, mm-hmm. yeah. like a lot. So mm-hmm. it's, you know,
the thing I love
were and are similar to me. So that's why we get along.
Totally. I was kind of nervous, you know, cause you never know. And I didn't want to fangirl too much. And I think I did a really good balance, but I also was like, I found it so interesting, our conversations and how our journeys were kind of the same in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Spiritually, and I just felt really connected to you, which makes sense.
Yeah, me too. Yeah,
I love you.
Yeah, I love you so much.
So this is Maria McKee. Her new album, La Vida Nueva, is available now, and mariamckee.org, correct?
Gosh, do I still have a website?
There's a website there. I don't know if it's updated.
And we'll post these other links for people who want to donate to these causes. Mm-hmm. We'll post them in our Facebook group. Yeah. So if you're watching, you can find it there.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Thank you so much, my love, for joining.
Thank you, darling. Thank you. It's nice to meet you.
Nice meeting you.
Blessings. Bye. You too. Bye.
I just adore her so much. Like I love what she's doing, for my community and for the whole community. And it's just a beautiful thing. So we have 5 minutes.
You pulled together some Is That Really News. Let's do one of them.
Yeah. Let's talk about Is That Really News. So from the AP. A man fakes his wife's disappearance to keep her from going to jail or prison. So they, in West Virginia, they faked her disappearance, by pretending that she plummeted from an overlook as part of the scheme to keep her out of having to go to prison, for fraud. So she frauded and frauded again.
I feel like this is a new Netflix comedy that's going to come out. You know, like
the funniest
Susan Sarandon.
Like, it said they looked for her for something about looked for her for several days, and they found her hiding in her closet. I'm like, what? Julie Wheeler. They were arrested, multiple charges of conspiracy, giving false information to the West Virginia State Police.
come out of the closet, Julie, and go to jail.
And go to jail.
Go to jail.
Prison.
What else you got?
So there are two more things that I have on. Is that really news?
Is that really news?
Is that really news? 22 overstuffed bears were put on a roller coaster in Holland, and they filmed it, and it is cute as fuck, and you can see that on our Facebook. Dina and Greg show on our Facebook.
I want to watch it immediately, oh my God. If not sooner.
It's so good. It is so good. And then the final thing is that will also be on our Facebook. It is an agent's Zillow listing that goes viral. So this guy posted his Zillow listing, and it had it was the home of Bigfoot. And Bigfoot was cooking in the kitchen and doing yoga and pruning things in the backyard. And this Zillow listing went viral. And it is so funny. And it's on our Facebook. Should be on there now.
What a new way to sell things.
So, I know.
Like,
it's so brilliant.
Bigfoot's house. Right.
And then finally, Greg, what's happening?
What's happening? Well, you have Extra AF mm-hmm. coming up soon.
I do.
You know the dates off the top of your head, right?
Yep, June 25th, which is a Thursday at 7:30 p.m. Central. We will be having our virtual Pride show for Extra AF Comedy. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram at Extra AF Comedy, and it's going to be a really fun show, so...
Fantastic.
Virtual Pride.
If you're in around Madison, Wisconsin, check out our friend Christine at Christine's Kitchens. She's doing, killing it at all this local delivery of local food by like 35 different businesses and helping keep them afloat mm-hmm. during all this. And we are about to start an amazing fundraiser campaign.
Ooh,
with
tell me
using,
more about that.
Using the local food, but that's up for later. So
I love it.
Because Christine, if she's watching, she's like, don't tell everyone yet. Anyway, but yeah, that's what, and next we'll announce our guests for next week as soon as we get confirmation for them. But do you have anything else?
No, just make sure that you share and like our pages at Dina and Greg Show, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and on Twitter. We are Dina and Greg with two G's on the end. Please go to our socials and be a part of our family. And you will get alerts and notices of things that are going on. And every Sunday here at Facebook and YouTube, Dina and Greg Show, two G's on the end of Greg, we'll be live at 7 p.m. Central Time. So
I just realized where the camera was on your mm-hmm. iPad.
So you've been looking over there while I was looking over there, yeah. And then it was just, yeah. And then
we be special.
I mean, it's hard having, let's just do this. How about we do this?
No, because then I get messed
up.
Oh,
and then I move my head. And then now we're back to, this is really
funny. Anyway, we love
so
you
find
all.
Us, we love you all so much.
Thanks for coming back to us after our large break.
And all today, of our hiatuses.
Today you saw what my memory was on Facebook,
yes.
Right? 10 years ago today, we did our first Pride cast in L.A., and yes.
2010, L.A. Pride.
If we ever do run for public office... That's going to do us in.
Shh.
You can search it and see what I'm talking about if you want to. Okay,
thank you
bye.
All again.
Have a great
also,
Saturday night.
Also, make sure that you go to verdurecbd.com. Put in 10% sign buyer, all caps, and you can get 10% site-wide and 25% off the shave stick. CBD, verdurecbd.com. Thank you so much. Have a great evening.
Bye.
See you next week.